I absolutely hate the word budget. It reminds me of being on a diet, and no one likes being on a diet.
Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
I hate the word budget. It reminds me of being on a diet. And for some reason, I think this day and age, human nature struggles with limits like the term diets and such. So when I speak with people about their cash flow, I try not to talk about budgeting. I try to talk about expense tracking. What do you think about expense tracking versus budgets, Jim?
I think it's got a much better feel to it. I think people tend to cringe at the word budget.
Yeah, I agree. So it doesn't, from our point of view, it doesn't matter what you're spending your money on. We just want to know how much you're spending because it's a very important data point within the financial planning process. And, of course, costs are going to be similar in retirement. Oftentimes they go down, but we can't just use a rule of thumb like you might read about in Money Magazine. We need to actually understand why they might go down, because maybe the mortgage will be gone, kids will be out of the house, stuff like that, right? So we're pretty old school here. I'm not talking about using pencil and paper, but we do like to use spreadsheets. And we like to use spreadsheets in the Google Cloud because next time your hard drive crashes, it'll still be there. And we used to use programs like Quicken and Microsoft Money, but it takes a lot of time to keep these things up to date. I don't even balance my checkbook anymore. How about you?
No, I actually don't either.
Yeah. Does anyone out there balance their checkbooks?
No, but I think it's a much easier exercise to, instead of getting into the real nitty-gritty of a budget, to just, like you said, expense track. Just keep track of those expenses each month.
Yeah, I think, Quicken and I don't think Microsoft Money is around anymore.
I don't know.
But these types of programs, they're, you know, totally great ideas. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was a lot of work, and I didn't really get the benefit out of it. It was just a lot of time basically doing a digital check register, and it was hard to evaluate, the data. But with a spreadsheet, it's really simple. You know, you have I like to do it with the months across the top, January, February, March, and then on the left side, all the different rows are the different categories of spending. And we have a template for you that you can download on the Podbean site. So be sure to use that if you're having a hard time creating your own template. But I've been doing this for a very long time, like over 10 years. And I think it was like 2009 when the hard drive crashed, mm-hmm. So my Microsoft Excel data was lost.
Yeah,
that's when we switched it to the cloud.
That's when your hate for Microsoft appeared.
Ever since then, yeah, I refuse to use Microsoft Office, and it causes me some pain here and there, especially when it's the only program that is on all of the same machines. So, but anyway, since 2009, it's been Google Sheets, and all the data is in the cloud. And it's a lot of fun to look back and see the trends over time. So each month you can see exactly what you're spending. And it's not, like I say, it's not a budget that you have to stick to. It's just looking back at last month and seeing where the money went. And I like to set a reminder for the first of the month. I have a program on my phone that reminds me each first of the month to look back at last month. And it's fresh in your mind. You know exactly where the money went by simply looking at your bank or your credit card. And you can easily realize if you were kind of out of control or if you were following your regular expense budget.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. You can decide, is this a one-time event each month, or is there a new expense that's become more of a consistent monthly expense as opposed to a one-time thing?
Yeah, and I like to also put income on that spreadsheet because then we can total our take-home pay versus our total spending and see if we had positive cash flow or negative cash flow each month. And in theory, if we have positive cash flow each month, that should translate to a growing net worth each month because we're saving that money, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're not advocating that households are businesses, but it makes sense to have a little bit of a business mindset when you're looking at cash flow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's helpful to, you know, so many times people have something that they think they need, and rather than just going out and buying it and figuring out how to pay for it later, if your quote unquote business is operating in a profit that month, well, now you have a more clear understanding if that's something you can afford at this time or if it needs to be pushed down the road a little bit.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the Steve Martin SNL video. If you haven't seen this one, you should Google it and watch it. I think it's on NBC.com or something like that. But it's with Amy Poehler and Steve Martin.
I think we did a blog about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you can see it on peakwm.com. But it's talking about, should you buy it? Should you buy the good or service before or after you save the money for it? And Steve Martin, you know, his character, he just cannot understand that you have to have the money first before you buy the stuff. So, okay, once we've determined what our cost of living is each month, the next step is to extrapolate into retirement. And we all want to maintain our standard of living in retirement. Think about it. No one wants to retire to a lesser lifestyle, right?
Sure.
I've never had one person come in and say, all right, right now we're spending $7,000 a month, but in retirement, my goal is to live less.
You know? But oftentimes we run into people who think they will spend less just by the nature of now that they're retired. But if you can't show us on paper where that cost savings is going to come from.
Yeah, that's a fool's errand.
Yeah.
And I think that people that just subscribe to these rules of thumb, you know, they might be mistaken, okay? They very well might be. I mean, we have a few things going for us in retirement, right? You might, you know, drive less, especially if you have a long drive. You know, less miles on the car, less gasoline. You might spend less on suits and stuff like that, less dress clothes. You don't have payroll tax anymore. People often don't realize the significance of payroll tax, especially for self-employed. But what else are you going to lose? I mean, you have an extra 40 hours, you know, roughly.
Right.
Some people use that time to spend.
Right. You might pick up a couple new habits.
Yeah.
Play a little more golf.
Like, look, every trip to Home Depot is $100, okay?
Without question.
Every trip, at least. So we like to look at the reality of what our expenses are right now. And then I always make a column at the very right hand of the spreadsheet that is retirement. So for me, we're putting money into our kids' college accounts. We're spending money on kids' activities. And we have tuition for them and stuff like this. They're going to be gone, right? Those expenses will not be there. I will not be having my 30-year-old kid in the basement, okay? I'm telling you now. It's not going to happen. But so it's very easy. Oh, also, there's no way I'm having a mortgage in retirement, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I practice what I preach. The mortgage will be gone. So there's a few pretty big line items there that'll be gone. You know, so if you're spending $7,000 a month right now and you just take off the things I just mentioned, hey, that can come down to $5,000 pretty quick. Now we have a real number, right, with the same lifestyle, but it's actually a lot less than you're spending today, but it's the same lifestyle.
Right, yeah. But you don't know that unless you can see that on paper.
That's right. So we encourage you to go through this activity with today, just like, you know, looking at last month, and then also look at it imagining that you're in retirement already. So, you know, the funny thing is, when we ask people what they spend now, you know, what did the lady say yesterday to you?
Oh, you always get a variety of answers.
Yeah. And they start, they grab a pencil and a paper and they start writing, well, you know, my DTE payment is X and my car payment is X and my car insurance is X. And they're like, well, it looks like we're spending about $1,200 a month. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, is this reality? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Or even if they don't even get out the pen, they just say, it's probably got to be around, you know, no more than 2,000.
Yeah. I would say, you know, less than 1 in 5 people, and this is just me pulling a number out of thin air, actually do anything like this. And I'm always, it's such a relief when people actually follow our instructions before the meeting and bring the stuff in with us, bring to show us and share with us. And when they do, it makes our job a lot easier because we're dealing with reality instead of fantasy. But also, people are still struggling with doing it the right way. And that's why we wanted to lay this out and how we do our format and how we recommend each month. Let's see. So the second part of the spreadsheet the first part is expense tracking, and the second part is your net worth tracking. And I got this idea from Gary Keller's book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. And I think I first read this in like 2005. So it's a little bit outdated when it comes to real estate. But this, you know, for the most part, I do love that book. And this is a great takeaway. So he talks about buying $1 million worth of real estate using other people's money, which is like their rent, okay? And it's part of our income 360 formula. In both cases, I took away great fundamentals. And in the book, Keller talks about how he met with his friend each week for breakfast. And each week they updated their net worth statements together and asked themselves, what am I doing today to increase my net worth? And in my opinion, updating your net worth statement each week seems like overkill. But if I had the net worth of Gary Keller, maybe I would be doing that, you know? Or maybe he has the net worth today because he took those actions each week. So regardless, I suggest people track their net worth each month, similar to the expense tracking. And what's neat is that you can look back over the years and see the progress on one sheet. And everything has been pretty darn good since 2009, since I started doing this in the cloud. And so, you know, I'm always happy when I look at these results in general. So the way that I format this one, and you can use this on the template, you can see it on the template that we provided, is at the top we have liquid assets like checking, savings, money markets, and then we have investments like IRAs, 401ks, Roth IRAs, brokerage accounts, and then another section that's property. So it'd be like your house or your cottage, your rental real estate, and then at the very bottom, liabilities. So that would be credit cards, mortgages, home equity loans, student loans, car loans, stuff like that. And you total up each, you know, subcategory, and at the very bottom, you have your net worth. So you can go across and look and see each month if you're increasing or decreasing. And when the market's up, you know, that's going to drive your net worth up. You know, usually the real estate is pretty much the
more
same. Yeah, maybe once every year you might apply a new value there. But look, if you are doing a good job with your cash flow, you're going to see your bank accounts grow. If the market's going up, you see your investments growing. And every month you're paying down on the debt, so you're seeing the liabilities shrink. And so we should be moving, you know, in this upward to the right direction kind of thing. I actually have another row at the very bottom, two rows actually. One is net worth growth this month, and then net worth growth year over year. So you can just make these fun formulas and see how you're doing. In a lot of these podcasts and in my conversations with people, we're talking about real estate investing, and we were looking back at some of the prior episodes we've done, and I got a laugh out of the fact that episode 24 is building wealth through real estate, and then episode 25 is your second home, the anti-dividend. So it's like we're speaking out of both sides of our mouth, right? One side, we're advocating for property. The other side, we're telling you don't do it. So what's up with that?
Well, you know what? Actually, it makes me think of a book that I just read, though, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where one of the things that really stood out to me was the comment that they made in that book about everything you're buying is either an asset or a liability. So whatever you're spending that money on can either be something that's going to help you improve your net worth and help you make progress, or it's going to be something that detracts from that and it's going to be a bigger expense than you realize. So to me, what stands out, keeping that in mind, is, you know, so many times we think, you know, maybe that second house, that vacation home, we're going to buy it, it's going to be a great investment, it's going to go appreciate in value, and we're thinking that what we're buying is actually an asset, when in reality, the expenses that come along with that second home are really a liability.
I couldn't agree more, especially if you're in retirement trying to do this,
yeah.
Because property will sink you if it's not the right type of property. And that's why we call it the anti-dividend.
Yep, for sure.
And another point, episode 35, if I have $1 million, is that enough? So that relates to this topic because we don't know if $1 million is enough until we understand what your needs are. I mean, if you're not spending your money and you're able to, you know, just live on Social Security, then yeah, I mean, you don't need anything, really, yeah. You know. But if you have $1 million and you have a big mortgage and you have a big car payment and no pension and like to travel, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, if you need to spend $100,000 a year, then I'm going to tell you right now that no, you don't have enough. A million is not enough. Susie Orman had a article that was out recently that says you need 5 million. Well, it's kind of a headline grabbing situation mm-hmm. there. I'm going to take some time and study what she says, but that could be another topic that we could do.
Yeah.
The point is, you have to know what your needs are mm-hmm. to know what you're going to need, you know, what portfolio you're going to need.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the questions I know I get, and you probably get asked more than anything, is what's my number? What do I really need, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't even begin to answer that question unless we know what your expenses are, what you're going to need to live on in retirement.
I couldn't agree more, and you're right, people do ask that a lot. And sometimes, you know, we can get a sense about people and their money personality pretty quickly, but I still hesitate to answer that question at all until I really have,
yeah.
you know, spent more time with them, really kicked the tires and looked under the hood with all the detail of the financial plan that we do with planwithpeak.com. I don't like to give that answer looking at, you know,
yeah.
a back of the napkin math, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no rule of thumb that says a million's enough or 2 million's enough or 500,000. There's no rule of thumb. It all depends on the individual.
But having this information, especially years and years of historical data about, you know, the Jim Pilot household, mm-hmm. right? Thinking of it like a business,
yeah.
understanding the historical spending patterns and the net worth tracking, right? Keeps you really in touch with your money and allows you to really embrace, you know, all of these topics and be right in touch with it. And it makes it a lot easier to do the right thing and understand how to make the right decisions.
Yeah. No question.
So how does this tie into finding true wealth? You know, it's not exactly, and it's a little bit of a stretch, but the need for financial security is kind of one of the predicates of
mm-hmm.
being able to find true wealth, in my opinion. So when we're trying to be financially secure, it all starts with cash flow, whether you're working or whether you're already retired. If we have that security and we reach success, then we often shift, you know, oftentimes people will shift their mindset and instead of reaching for more success, like the American definition of success, the definition changes into fulfillment, you know, from success to fulfillment and true wealth and making a difference for other people. Well, Jim, I think that's it for episode 13, part 2. 2.0. Okay, our call to action today is to download the template, start filling out the spreadsheet, and set a reminder for yourself on the first of the month to do it each month and look back and see what happened in the prior month. And if you have over $500,000 in your portfolio, please reach out to us at peakwm.com and apply for an appointment.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.